Thank you, Angela and Maria. That was beautiful. My name's Christian Goble. I'm one of the elders here at Rytheville Baptist Church. And this is a real privilege for me to come up here and share. You see, our pastor is not just interested in being the only one that shares the gospel here at Rytheville Baptist Church. He wants us all to be on mission together. He's been gathering us together on Wednesdays, and we've been coming together and we've been watching videos, and we've been having a question and answer time. And then we spend a very rich time in prayer. And what he's doing, he's equipping us. He's preparing us to go out and share the love of Jesus Christ with those in our neighborhoods, with those in our communities, and those beyond. So I invite you today to become a part of this. And we're going to start off today talking about brokenness. And if you have your Bibles, please turn to Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 7. Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 7. In a little while, we're going to be reading that scripture. But right now, I'd just like to share with you a little bit about what Dan spoke on last week. And he spoke about God's design for our lives. And he drew a circle like this. And he put in here God's design. And then he spoke about when we depart from God's design, it's referred to as sin. And where it takes us is this circle in which we're going to be talking about today. It takes us to a place of brokenness. And in that brokenness, when we're broken, we're going in many directions trying to find a way out of our brokenness. And this is where we're going to spend our time today, in that brokenness. You see, Genesis 1:31 says, God saw all that he was made, and it was very good. Not just good, it was very good. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the works of his hand. You don't have to go far around the Shenandoah Valley to see the handiwork of God. Just look out these windows and you'll see the handiwork of God all around us. We are very fortunate here in the Shenandoah Valley. But when we depart from God's design, we end up over here in this place of brokenness, and many of us can attest to this. I want to tell you a story about brokenness. Kind of a fun story. When I was younger, my cousin and I, we used to canoe race together. We had this unique technique of standing up in the canoe using 7-foot paddles to get ourselves down the river. If you see this article here, you'll see my cousin Michael, and I'm in the water there. And if you see on the side, you can read, Mike Sodasani and Christian Goble find that standing in a canoe can lead to a swim. Our canoe was a sleek 18-foot canoe. It was white cedar ribbed, covered in canvas. This canoe would glide through the water. I mean, it was fast. Well, my uncle Joe, who liked to embellish stories as if he really flew 30 feet through the air with every story he told, he would say that he wanted to borrow this canoe and go to a canoe race down in Harper's Ferry, West Virginia. My cousin and I, of course, we just cringed at the thought of his taking our jewel of a canoe and running the rapids. Needless to say, my uncle described this particular rapid, Bull Falls, as a foaming giant. When he went to thrust his paddle into the raging river, he was engulfed in the turbulent water, and the canoe went over. It filled with water, and it found itself on a rock. The water began to enter the canoe. Both ends came around all the way until the canoe snapped in half. You see, that canoe was broken. Rather than taking the canoe to its original builder and designer, my cousin and I decided that we would take it to a local guy. He slapped some Kevlar on it, added about 20 pounds to the canoe, and it was never the same after that. It didn't glide through the water anymore. You see, shortcuts always come at a price. Life doesn't work when we ignore God and His original design for our lives. This is how it is when we depart from God's design. We find ourselves broken, in need of a Savior who is the only one who can restore us. You see, we live in a very broken world. Elizabeth Elliot, some of you might be familiar with her, she was the wife of Jim Elliot. 1956, he was killed down in Ecuador sharing the Word of God with the folks down there. She says this, so she's been there, she's been in a place of brokenness. She says, "We want to avoid suffering, death, sin, ashes, but we live in a world crushed and broken and torn, a world God Himself visited to redeem. We receive His poured out life, and being allowed the high privilege of suffering with Him, may then pour ourselves out for others." You see, that's the desire of our pastors, for us to pour our lives into others, show the love of Jesus Christ to others. It's simple. All we do is get together with them, we make a friend, and we tell them about the treasure we have within us of Jesus Christ. That's all it's about. It's simple. It's not complicated. We don't have to complicate it. These circles might seem a little complicated, but you don't even need to use them. They're just something to equip you to go out and share the love of Jesus Christ, just to get your thought process going in the right direction. In the United States today, an estimated 20 million people are ensnared in some type of addiction. Police report over 3,000 violent crimes a day. It seems every time we turn on the news these days, and you all are aware of this, there's another tragedy. One half of 1 million children have been removed from their homes due to abuse and neglect and placed in foster care. It's a difficult world we live in. 40% of children live in single-parent homes. Well, I can personally tell you, coming from a single-parent home, that there is hope. And that's why I'm up here. I'm up here to share not all about brokenness. I'm here to share about hope, about Jesus Christ, and where that hope comes from. You see, God has given us a mission in this broken world, and that is to make disciples of all nations. As a child, my mother, she taught me what a personal relationship with Jesus Christ looks like. I'm thankful to her for that. That there is hope through accepting Christ and surrendering my life to Him. My father, on the other hand, who is not a Christian, one time he looked at me square in the eyes, and they were very broken eyes, and he said, "Christian, do you know what the primary difference between you and me is?" He said, "You have peace." And then he looked at me and he said, "I have no peace." And he said it just like that. "I have no peace." Understand that there's hope. The gospel of Jesus Christ is where we find that peace. Amen. That's the only place, if you're broken today, that you're going to find a way out of that brokenness and find that peace that my father does not have right now. I pray he comes one day to find that peace, but as of yet, he hasn't found it. He'll tell me the same thing all over again. We've read the Word together, but he doesn't have that peace that transcends all understanding. You see, this is what compels me to share my faith. It's what compels me to go on mission trips. It's what compels me to get involved with my pastor. It's what compels me to get up here in the boldness of sharing God's Word with you. You see, I want others to experience that peace that removes the brokenness. I want to share with them that God has a plan, just like He has a plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11, we're very familiar with this verse. I love this verse. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope." You hear that word, hope? To give you a hope and a future. I'm telling you about that hope this morning because I have that hope. I know where I'm going one day. Praise God. Now understand, our desire here at Rileyville Baptist Church is that we are on mission together. Helping people in the valley to what? Say yes to Jesus, right? We want to equip you with some tools to help you share your faith. We're going to continue with this three-circle approach as I draw it out here a little bit later. And as Pastor said, this is a conversational, relational way to be on missions as we go about our daily life. It's not complicated. To turn ordinary, everyday conversations about what people are struggling with into conversations about Christ and His gospel. Let's read together Genesis 3, 1 through 7. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, 'You must not eat from the tree in the garden?'" You see, Satan used doubt to plunge the world into sin. "Has God indeed said these things?" The woman said to the serpent, We may eat fruit from the tree of the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." You see, Satan then misrepresented God as seeking to withhold from Adam and Eve. How often does he use those same tactics with us? "When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. The eyes of both of them were open, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves." If you would just join me in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be up here. I humbly come here, dear Lord. And the only reason I'm up here is because I love you. And I want to be obedient to you, Lord. I want to share the love of Jesus Christ, not only with this church, Lord, but I want to share it beyond the church. And Lord, I'd like to see everyone here on missions. Our pastor has a goal, dear Lord, that 80% of us would be on missions in this valley. I'd like to see 100%, Lord. But Lord, our desire is simply to help equip the folks here to be able to share the love of Jesus Christ in a conversational, relational way. We just want them to go out and be a friend of somebody, Lord. I pray, Lord, that together we will be on mission helping people in the valley to say yes to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And may you anoint this sermon through your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Point number one, we choose to depart from God's design. Satan convinced Adam and Eve that taking of the fruit could be beneficial to them. He did this three ways. He chose the lust of the flesh, good for food. He chose the lust of the eyes, pleasing to the eye. And he chose the pride of life, desirable to make one wise. This has been true from the very beginning. Adam and Eve thought they knew better than God. How often do we go our own way thinking we know better than God? I was sharing my Sunday school class this morning. God has a plan for them. We start departing from that plan and going in a different direction. Things aren't going to work out. Not the way God has planned. He has the best plan for us. Understand, I told him also that Satan is the father of lies. Don't ever forget that. He's going to try to convince you that there's something better out there than his plan. Satan has been using these same tactics all through history. In fact, even in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was tested in the wilderness, Satan used these three same temptations. I hadn't recognized this before, but if you look at that scripture, you see the lust of the flesh. He says to Jesus, "Tell these stones to become bread, Jesus." Then he says, he chooses the lust of the eyes for Jesus. He says, "Jesus, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. Just look around. I'll offer it all to you." Then he says about the pride of life. He says, "Jesus," he says, "I will give you all their splendor." You see, the devil offered Jesus all the kings of the world without having to go to the cross. You know what Jesus' response was? Do you remember? Go away, Satan. Get out of here. There's a great verse in James 4:7 that I need to rest in a lot of times. It says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Come near to God. And what is he going to do? He's going to come near to you. Amen. That's what you need to do. You need to resist the devil. I resist the devil. Each and every day I have to resist the devil. But if I come near to God, I know and I have the comfort of knowing he's going to come near to me. And he'll come near to you as well. Temptation usually comes in through a door that has been deliberately left open. I think this is important, so let me just say it one more time. Temptation usually comes in through a door that we, myself included, have deliberately left open. Be careful with that. That's a dangerous place to be. That's not coming near to God. When Adam and Eve took of the fruit in disobedience to God, it brought on these things. This is what came into the world. They had the garden. They had that beautiful garden. They had God's design. Everything he had for them, a beautiful plan for life. Instead, what they decided to choose, and this is what we often decide to choose. We decide to choose sickness. We decide to choose sorrow. We decide to choose suffering. We decide to choose fear. We decide to choose guilt. And we decide to choose death. You got this? All the splendor that surrounds us, and we're going to choose these things? Does that make any sense at all? The Bible word for departing from God's design and going our own direction is sin. We often don't like this word, but it's a reality. Because that's the very word that takes us here to this brokenness. And then we're going in every direction trying to figure out how to get out of it. We all do it. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Life doesn't work when we ignore God and his original design for our lives, when we try to do things our way instead of his way. Number two, when we depart from God's design, it always leads right here. It leads to brokenness. Understand, one of the most valuable tools you can ever use is prayer. There's nothing beyond prayer for a Christian. Okay, but a listening ear goes a long ways, and this is something I'm working on in my own life. And showing sincere empathy for what others might be going through, what they're struggling with, listening to their concerns. When I visit the jail ministry with George, I witness how he puts into practice this relational form of conversation. I went there the other day. What did they do starting out? They greet George with a handshake. They didn't come to me and shake my hand. I just was visiting for the first time. You know why they shake George's hand? Because he's a friend of theirs. He's earned the right to share the scriptures. He's a friend of theirs. He goes and shakes their hand and they shake his. And then he sits down with them and they listen. And he listens. They share a conversation. It's not complicated. He says he goes there sometimes. He doesn't even really prepare that much because he knows the Holy Spirit will lead. And the verses God gives him and what he puts in his heart, he simply shares with them. He shares the love of Jesus. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a rich time there when we go to the jail. Proverbs 14:12 said, "There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death." You see, they think they're going the right direction, they're doing the right thing, but they end up in jail. And then they're struggling and broken, and George is there to help them along. They would share how life on the outside was not working out and how they would go in many directions, trying different things as they look for a way out. There are those arrows out of their brokenness. Some try to find a way out of their pain by medicating it with drugs. Others try to find a way out of their pain by numbing it with alcohol. Like Adam and Eve in the garden, they try to hide from God. They know they are broken on the inside. Their life's a mess and something has got to change. This change is offered through the gospel of God's grace. I've witnessed them falling on their knees and weeping in brokenness. A man from Iraq came to me and he says, "You know, Christian, you know what? I feel more free here on the inside, behind these bars, reading my Bible, than I did on the outside when I was in the world." Imagine that, being more free in jail because you got the Word of God and you didn't have it before to give you comfort. We've got to spend time in the Word of God. That's where we get our strength. Number three, brokenness disrupts God's design. You see, these men in the jail, their lives have been disrupted. And your life, if you're broken today, if you're departing from God's design and going your own way, your life is being disrupted. And keep in mind, and you may attest to this even today if you feel this right now, keep in mind that these very things are the things that create separation between us and God. And the pain of this is real. And what it disrupts our spiritual life for one, most importantly. Again, it disrupts our family life. And you think you're getting away with it, but it's disrupting your family life. It disrupts our married life. Just remember that. It disrupts our married life. It also disrupts our work life. These men aren't working the way they were before, and it's disrupting their physical lives. This is what happens to us when we depart God's design. It's going to fall apart. Stay here. It's not going to fall apart here. It will fall apart if we go in our own direction. Has your life been disrupted in one or more of these areas? Genesis 3:7 says, "The eyes of the two of them were opened." You see, they became aware, and their awareness increased. Their awareness of the sin in their life, the separation from God. "And they knew that they were naked, and they fastened fig leaves together and made themselves coverings." They became aware, as we become aware, and somebody might be becoming aware right now, of the sin in our life and the way it separates us from the things that are most meaningful in life. I met a guy not so long ago who had been through a very difficult time of brokenness. Having a mutual interest in missions and evangelism, I asked him to share with me his testimony. This is how it went. He personally experienced infidelity. That infidelity was in the church. His wife was involved in another relationship. She had her kids turned against him. Broken and lost, he wanted to kill the guy who had come between him and his wife. God was the only one he felt had not abandoned him. He immersed himself in God's Word and fellowship. If the church was open, he was there. He was reading the book of Hosea. He read about Hosea and Gomer, chapter 1, verse 4. Listen to this. It says, "When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, 'Go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her, for like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness of the Lord.'" He felt it was the answer to prayer, pressing on to save his marriage. The marriage ended when she chose someone else. He later realized that God was preparing him for a future to sow grace to a Christian young lady who had a promiscuous past. He said, "I've never felt love like this before." God, the great designer, is restoring him. He is going to El Salvador on a mission trip. When I asked him if he had raised his support, he said, "Two of the men in the church saw how God was at work in my life, and they gave me $1,500. He said with a smile, "God has provided." I said, "Can I pray with you?" And we just stopped. I don't even know this guy. I just met him. It was as if I knew him for years. You know what we had together? You know what? You realize what we had? We had fellowship. We had fellowship because he knew Jesus Christ now, and it was a sweet fellowship, so we prayed together. He has a humble spirit and a strong faith. Listen to this. The lady God had brought into his life is working in the women's ministry, encouraging women with a broken past. You see, that's the way God works. I was running late for a pickup that day. I had to get down the river to get somebody off the river. You see, I felt compelled to listen and pray. People were, I could see them staring at me going, "Christian, you need to get going." When I went down to the pickup, guess what? Nobody was there. You see, God makes a way. He'll work it out. Nobody was there. I was there by myself when I got down there. How often do we say no to a divine appointment? How would I have felt if I'd missed out that day on God's blessing? You see, God sent His Son Jesus to rescue that man from his brokenness. And this is the verse that rings true with that, and this is where he was. It says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ did what? He died for us." Romans 5:8. Another great verse, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Acts 4:12. Point number four, brokenness helps us see our need for change. The change we really need comes through Jesus. God sent Jesus to live a perfect life, die a death we deserve, and be raised to life again, proving He is who He says He is. He can do what He says He can do. Jesus came to forgive our sins. I love this verse, and this is a verse I'm going to take on the mission field. Colossians 2:14. He erased the certificate of death and has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, that He was buried and He rose on the third day according to Scripture. So consider the words Angela and Maria sang, if we're honest, and what you or someone else might be going through. I don't know if you heard these words the first time, but I'm just going to give them to you one more time. Don't pretend to be something that you're not. Living life afraid of getting caught. There is freedom found when we lay our secrets down at the cross. At the cross. So bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine. Because love can heal what hurt divides. And mercy's waiting on the other side if we are honest. I've witnessed the pain and anguish of those who have struggled with regret. There are no words that can heal the hurt outside the healing power of God's forgiveness. I've longed to lead them to the Savior's arms as I cry out, questioning every prior encounter with them, thinking, what could I have said? What could I have done in the past to keep them from so much pain? And I tell you, I felt this deeply with people who are very close to me. I have a flight student. He says to me when we're in the traffic pattern, we're flying around, "Did I get all the pieces, Christian? Did I get all the pieces?" And you see, he doesn't want to settle for second best. Second best doesn't work out too well when you're a pilot. God will mend a broken heart if we give Him all the pieces. How many of you here have ever heard of the book Unbroken or watched the movie Unbroken? Anybody in here familiar with that? Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit about that story. It was written by Laura Hillenbrand. It's a powerful story of repentance, belief, recovery, and pursuit. And these are some of the things I'm going to talk to you about with a little more detail here. After a near-fatal plane crash and a B-24 bomber during World War II, Olympic runner Louis Zamborini spent a harrowing 47 days out at sea with his fellow crewmen. They struggled each and every day just to survive 47 days. An enemy plane came over and fired on them as they were driven out of their raft into shark-infested waters. Imagine that, 47 days at sea, and you're being fired at by the enemies, and now you have to get in the water with sharks. It doesn't get much worse than that. One of the men named Mac ends up dying while there. So now they have a man in the raft that has died. During this time, Lewis makes a deal with God that if he survives, he will serve Him for the rest of his life. A Japanese boat discovers them, not ideal, and they become prisoners of war in a POW camp. An officer with the nickname The Bird has it out for Lewis, and he is psychologically tortured and relentlessly beaten. It's only getting worse. He mocks him as an Olympic athlete Lewis spends his time often in solitary confinement. 200 prisoners are ordered to line up. Each one of them is ordered, 200, to strike him with their fist in his face. He says, do it. He's thinking of them. He says, you do it, because if you don't, he's going to come after you. 200 people lining up, striking you in the face. Then the bird tells Lewis, he says, hold a steel beam over your head. Put it over your head, and then over here there's a guard. And he says, the guard, you point your rifle at Lewis. If he lets that steel beam down, I want you to shoot and kill him. This goes on for hours. Eventually, Allied planes fly over and they are freed. But yet, this isn't the end of the story. After he returns home, he struggles with PTSD. He has nightmares, anger, bitterness, depression, all the things that come into your life when you depart from God's design for your life. He turns to alcohol. Encouraged to go to a 1949 Billy Graham crusade, he walks out. He then returns after remembering his promise at sea that he had made to God. He realizes that God had kept his promise, but that he had not kept his promise to God. That night, unable to get out of his seat, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. He forgave his captors, meeting many of them in person. Imagine going through all that. Only the love of Jesus Christ can take you back there to forgive somebody for doing all that to you. It's only the love of Jesus Christ. You see, God had a design for Lewis's life. But Lewis departed God's design and he chose alcohol instead. Lewis, as many of us, ended up in a place of brokenness. Now for Lewis, when he departed God's design, it was alcohol. For us, it might be something different. I don't know. It could be drugs. It could be an inappropriate relationship, possibly. You know, it might be something else. It could be an idol. You know, it keeps a lot of people. And, you know, in one time in my life, it was fear that kept me sometimes out of the will of God. Sometimes just fear. Fear of, you know, letting go and letting God. So, within this brokenness, you end up going in every direction, trying to find a way out of that brokenness. And what happens is, we find a way out right here. This is where we find a way out. And what it's called the gospel. It's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where we find our way out of this brokenness. And you know what? We can be rescued from that brokenness. And the way in which we can be rescued from that brokenness is real easy. Again, it's not complicated. We simply repent. And what do? We have to believe. And when we repent and believe, God gets a hold of our lives. And when God gets a hold of our lives and the gospel gets a hold of our lives and we're in the Word and we're in church and we're going around sharing the gospel, this is what God starts to do right here. He starts to help us and we recover. Okay? And what do? Next? We begin to pursue God's design for our lives. There's been many young people recently in this church where God's leading them to pursue God's plan for their life. And you know what they're going to do when they accept this gospel and they accept God's design for their life? They're going full circle. They're coming around. And the difference is it's no longer their life. It's not about them anymore. What they're going to do is they're going to share with folks that God also has a design for your life. And they're going to leave Rileyville Baptist Church and they're going to go on missions. God has a call for each and every one of our lives. He has a call on your life. Where do you find yourself today in this illustration? Quite possibly you find yourself somewhere in this illustration. Have you trusted in what Jesus has done for you and are now pursuing God's design for your life? Or do you find yourself broken in a place where you're trying to fix it all on your own? If you find yourself in a broken place, what keeps you from turning from your sin and trusting in Jesus and what He has done for you? Maybe you know Christ as your personal Savior and just need a little bit of encouragement, as our pastor is giving me, obviously, having me come up and share the love of Jesus Christ with you. This is my prayer for you, and it's our pastor's prayer for you. My prayer is that God will provide opportunities for you to share Christ, that He will give you a boldness in helping people in the valley to say yes to Jesus, and that He will give you, listen to this, wisdom. This is a good word, discernment. Discernment. To offer hope in a world full of pain and brokenness. You see, I say discernment because this is another verse that means a lot to me because it keeps me where I need to be in my approach to sharing Christ with other people. It's in 1 Peter 3:15. It says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Sometimes we forget that as Christians. We need to do it with gentleness and respect. The Holy Spirit's doing the work. We're not. We have to trust in Him. We're simply vessels. We're simply being used. We're being equipped to go out and share the love of Jesus Christ. Don't complicate it. If you feel that you're pushing too hard, just back off and love on them for a while. The Holy Spirit will do the work. There's hope found in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You for the opportunity You've given me. Most of all, I thank You for each and every one here. This church means a lot to me, dear Lord. I've always felt God has a special plan for this church and the people here, Lord. I believe some of us are just a little bit nervous about what that means to step out of our comfort zone. But Lord, all we need to do is take a first step, and You're going to work the rest out. We just have to be faithful, Lord. And if there's anybody here, Lord, that doesn't know You, I just pray, Lord, that today's message just works within their heart to where they come to a place, dear Lord, where they recognize that they're not going to find a way out of their brokenness going in every direction. They're going to find a way out of their brokenness turning to the gospel of Jesus Christ and what You offer. We just look around, Lord. We know what You made. We know how wonderful it is. Why do we want to settle for second best? So, Lord, I just pray You would work in our lives, draw us near to You, and help us all, dear Lord, to be on mission together, helping people in the valley to say yes to Jesus. Amen.